Okay, all set, Fridge?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go. Coming down in 3, 2, and 1. Elliot, normally on Mondays when we release this podcast, it is you and I talking to one hockey person, sometimes a coach, sometimes a player. Today, a special treat, talking to two former NHLers. Both have enjoyed success at the highest in the NHL, namely the Stanley Cup, the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Conn Smythe Trophy. And for the purposes of this podcast, it is the coming together of two former teammates in a business venture.
And Jeff has nerded out.
Peter Forsberg, dude. Peter Forsberg and Claude Lemieux on the podcast this morning. Welcome to it. We'll let Claude make the announcement here in a couple of seconds. But when I say the names Claude Lemieux and Peter Forsberg, to me, toughness, grit, all those old school terms that get thrown around, rightly apply to those types of players and winners and success. And these are players that on the ice, we can talk about off the ice after, on the ice didn't allow anything to get in their way. They went generally through it. If they couldn't go through it, they went around it, Elliot.
Mostly through it.
That made it so good. Hockey was so much fun then. It's still fun. It's just different kinds of fun.
It's one of the topics.
When you think about Lemieux and you think about Forsberg, what do you think of right away for each?
Look, they won a lot. And at the end of the day, that's what you think of the most is winning. Because that's what it's all about. And they won.
And with that, we'll bring them on and we'll do a little wrap at the end and share some of our thoughts. In the meantime, here they are with their announcement, Claude Lemieux and Peter Forsberg on 31 Thoughts, the podcast, brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra Denali.
Philadelphia Flyers are pleased to select from Modo, Sweden, Peter Forsberg.
Nice, easy home game. Here's Forsberg in behind the goal. Forsberg still up with it. Forsberg stumbles, keeps it in, and here he goes. Forsberg walking in, tees it up, waves, takes a shot, scores! Oh, what a move and what a goal by Peter Forsberg.
Lemieux to the side of the net. And bodies all over the place. Here's Lemieux with a shot. Score! Well, yes, did. The Canadians have won it.
Claude Lemieux puts it right up under the bar. On a, what looked like a harmless play, he walked out from behind the net and stuck it up over Lemieux's shoulder.
And McCarty's got that left loose. Lemieux can go both sides. And this has been long overdue. They've lined up, and look at Lemieux throwing him. He's been ready for this. You know it.
Around behind, Hasek able to pump it along to the corner, but up with it is Lemieux. Claude Lemieux can't get it back. Stevens, one-time shot, deflected by McLean, and not hold out front. Lemieux scores!
Taken out of the play by Sylvain Lefebvre. Intercepted. Short in a chance. Forsberg, 5-on-5 in. Forsberg, shot, and score! Peter Forsberg! Oh, the talent, the cream rises to the top. It is a 5-2.
Oh, my gracious, what a play by Peter Forsberg.
Elliot, it is seldom that we get to be joined by a Stanley Cup winner. It is even more rare to be joined by former NHLers, Stanley Cup winners, Conn Smythe Trophy winners, Hockey Hall of Famers, all at the same time. And we have two very distinguished hockey people with us. One is Claude Lemieux, of course, former NHLer, a multiple Stanley Cup winner and the president of Four Sports Hockey. He is joining us in Los Angeles. And Peter Forsberg, the legend, is on the line as well. Legendary Swedish hockey player, winner of the Conn Smythe Trophy, Stanley Cup winner as well, and a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. Gentlemen, first of all, thank you for joining us. And Claude, the reason we have both you gentlemen on the show today is there is an announcement to be made. And with that, we'll hand the recreation over to you to make it. Claude, what is the news?
Well, I'm really excited to be reunited with an old friend and a former teammate. I've been with Four Sports and Entertainment now for almost 10 years and been in the business of representing players. So we have a nice business growing with representing young players and older players throughout not just North America, but all the different leagues around the world. And Peter is joining us as an investor and an equity partner in our company. And I couldn't be happier. It was done sort of a little bit behind the scene. Peter moved to Switzerland not too long ago and got connected with my my partners. And they started talking about this potential venture. And just as excited as I was to be playing with Peter Forsberg in 1995 when I got traded to Colorado, I'm just as excited in this new venture with Peter. And I know what hockey means to him and how fortunate we are to have him.
Peter, your thoughts?
No, of course I'm excited. You know, I moved down to Switzerland for half a year ago, and we started talking with Daniel, and who's the president down in the European division there. And, you know, I always wanted to be close. Not always, I would say. You know, for a while there, I didn't really like watching hockey. But you know, 1 or 2 years passed by since I retired, and I really want to be involved. And I think this is a great opportunity for me to be so close to the hockey. I think it's a great business opportunity. And of course, I knew about four sports before and the good reputation. And plus, of course, I get to work with Claude again. I think it was a pretty good combo when we played together. And I think this might be even better. So I'm really excited to be part of the family and be close to hockey again.
Wait a second. You said something there, Peter, that really stood out to me. For a while, you didn't want to watch hockey. What's the story there?
No, I think I just was fed up with hockey there for a second there after I retired. You know, it was, what would I say? You know, I was struggling in the end of my career, you know, with mm-hmm. hockey. It was back and forth injuries here and there and just not wanted to be that close anymore. I was in sports, I was watching more soccer or football and all other sports. But after a while, I started watching it more and more. And I really enjoy watching it from the side now. Before, maybe it was because I wanted to be on the ice and I couldn't be there. So nowadays I got the perspective that I'm just way too old. So I would never have a chance to get on the ice again. So I think it's just more relaxing now to sit and watch and enjoy the great players that are out there and then what they do on the ice. And so I think that could be it. That was maybe in the beginning there. I just dreaming about being on the ice and you just couldn't be there.
So, Claude, when we spoke about this in the last couple of days, you had a great story about a game you played with Peter where you weren't feeling it in the warm-up.
Hmm.
Can you share that story about having Peter as your line mate?
Well, I mean, look, there were a lot of games I didn't feel right in the warm-up, but in that particular game, and this came up when we were talking about memories of being with Peter and how good of a player he was, and I remember, Peter, we were playing in Washington, and I felt sick. I didn't feel right in the warm-up. It was always a tough building to play in. It was so dark, and they didn't draw many fans back then. And I shared with you that I wasn't feeling right, and jokingly you just said, put your stick down, I'll find you. And after the first period, I scored a hat trick. So that's just says it all about Peter Forsberg and how gifted he was. Not just an amazing player, but an amazing young person that he was when we first met, and has always been a dear friend, even though we sort of don't stay in touch as much as we should because of our different lifestyle and the time zones and how far we live from one another. But, I'm really excited.
Okay, so I have to be honest here. I was really excited to hear about this announcement, the pairing of two former Avs, you know, two former teammates coming together for four sports, and that's wonderful. And when Elliot said, hey, we have a chance to talk to Claude Lemieux and Peter Forsberg at the same time, I said, I'm going to be completely selfish because there's one thing, Peter Forsberg, that I've always wanted to ask you. And I always said to myself, if I ever get a chance to talk to Forsberg, it's going to be one of my first questions, so here it goes. The move in the NHL that we now know as the Forsberg. UC Jokinen did it a ton. We see it all the time. Alex Barkov does it. You were the first one to popularize the move, of course, against Corey Hirsch. We call it the postage stamp move or the Forsberg.
Hirsch goes back in goal. The referee is lined up along with the linesman. Forsberg now. Forsberg on the forehand. Forsberg. Whoa, that was sweet. Whoa.
That was just like an NBA slam dunk competition. What a move there. He did that in practice or in a regular season game. He'd have somebody coming out and chopping him for that one. He got away with it. What a move by this kid. Watch Forsberg going into the goal. Forehand, backhand. What's he going to do? Oh, well, I'll keep it on the backhand with one hand on my stick. Plain and simple. Great play by Forsberg. Hurst did everything he could do to stay with him.
The first time I ever saw that was in 1989 World Championships, and it was Kent Nielsen doing that on a breakaway against John Van Beesbrouck of the United States. When did you first see that move?
No, of course I saw it the same time as you. It was in the Globe and in the Swedish new arena back in the World Championship, and he scored. I think it ended up, it was a 4-2 goal there, and it was a really nice move. And then after that, a few Swedes had tried it here and there, practices, and of course I was one of them. I was young. I was, of course, Kent Nielsen was a kind of an idol for me, and so I started doing it in practice. I did it in the Swedish Elite League too, but then I missed it. I hit the post, so I tried it in the penalty shot before it. And then in the Olympic final, I was just watching Corey, how far he came out. And I thought, to be honest, and Claude knows this too, I was not good at breakaways. So I only had like two moves. It was, try to get a five hole and then and that one. So, and I scored in the round robin there at five hole. So I had nothing left. So I figure this is what I have to do. And it didn't really matter if it was the Olympic final or not. I kind of had nothing else to do. But I thought the first time, to answer your question, that yeah, that was Kent Nielsen did it the first time. And to be honest, the way he did it was nicer than mine, but it ended up being, my goal might be more important than his, but I stole his move, yes.
Claude, compare Peter and Joe Sakic as players and people.
Well, as people, I would say similar personalities, both quiet leaders, two guys that didn't say a whole lot in the locker room. They just showed up and played every night. Joey was more of a shooter. Joey loved the half wall. He'd walk in and shoot. Peter's always looking for a pass, and he was so unselfish in that regard. So it was a dream player to play with. I mean, I was so fortunate to play with both those guys and sometimes be on the ice with both of them on the power play. So very committed. Joey was a bit more fortunate, didn't have as many injuries. Unfortunately, I think Peter would have played another 4 or 5 years if he didn't run into all these injuries towards the end of his career. But my wife always blamed me, always said, you have such a horrible influence on Peter. Look what he does after the whistle and how physical he's gotten. And I always said, I will not take that inventory on. I know this kid. And that was born, and Peter Forsberg had an edge. He played with more of an edge than Joe did. Joe was the ultimate sneaky player, keep it quiet, and he'd have 3 goals, 2 assists. Peter could have a great game. We'd be up by 2, and he'd run, Fedorov over, and there we go, comes McCarty and all those guys, and I'd be, what are you thinking? But that's if I didn't start it, so... We were quite a combo, and it was the best top 2-3 players that I got the chance to play with. And when you're speaking of moves, one of Peter's signature moves was the wraparound. Mm. And he had such an impact as on my son. Peter's a left-handed shot, and I'm a righty, and my son Brendan that plays for Winnipeg is a lefty. As a youngster, he'd keep watching Peter's tapes and try to wrap around and try to wrap around and try to wrap around. And I always said, why would you work on something you're never going to use ever if you play in the NHL? Well, he scored 2 in the last 2 weeks on the wraparound, so I was definitely wrong.
Peter, please tell me as part of this, there's going to be a time where you and Joe Sakic, the GM of the Avalanche now, sit down at a table and negotiate a contract head-to-head.
That would be hilarious, actually, if I get to do that, be on the other side with Joe. I was fortunate to play with him for so long, and then, we got along great. So it would be pretty cool to have a first argument with Joe, since we've been friends for 20 years. So I'm kind of looking forward to see how Joe is when he gets mad. I've never really seen that, So that would be great. It would be great to watch that. I think, yeah, it would be great, you know, if we can help out Colorado and get some good players, you know. I think, you know, they need to win some games here. So, Joe has been, it would be great. You know what happens when you win a cup or two with players and friends, you know, you always have a bond for the kind of the rest of your life. Every time, the first time you see them for a long time, and then you feel like, you know, you still have that connection because it's something happened when you win the cup with somebody. You always smile. It's always something you look back to, and you remember the days when you were stood there and raised the cup together. So even if it's argue about a contract with Joe or whatever it is, I think it's going to be kind of funny.
Claude just mentioned a second ago, you know, you played with an edge, and anyone that watched you play hockey knows that, you know, at your time, one of, if not perhaps the best power forward in the game was Peter Forsberg from Sweden. It's one thing to be physical without the puck. We've seen that. Separate the man from the puck. Run at a guy. Separate the man from the puck. But the one thing that always impressed me about you is how physical you were when you had the puck on your stick. Players will always talk about the Peter Forsberg cold shoulder. You have the puck and you do that little bump back move and you knock off the forechecker that's trying to get the puck off of you. Was that always something that was part of your game growing up, that type of physicality, not without the puck, but even with the puck on your stick?
No, not really. You know, when I grew up, I was very small. I didn't really have the physical ability to run people. I think it happened when I was like 17, 18. Mm-hmm. I started growing a lot. I ate like four times a day. And I think they got the physical element too. But just that move hitting when you have the puck and being a little sneaky, you know, I played that in the World Juniors in Sweden there actually against a Russian guy. And he absolutely murdered me when he hit me like that. I'm like, what did he do? Why did that work? So I stole that from a Russian dude. I don't think he even knew. He lost his stick, and I think that's why he's trying to hit me before. So I think it just came up with that move afterwards. But I see a lot of people try to do it now, and you know, I think I was very sneaky with it. You have to be sneaky, so you have to, you know, pretend you're not looking, you don't know he's coming, and then you got to hit him. That's when it works, but it definitely. I love the quote I heard Joe said that Peter didn't really only try to run people when he didn't have the puck. He was trying to run people when he had the puck too. Yeah. So it's kind of a funny thing, but yeah. But back to, you know, Claude, when I played with Claude, you know, it didn't matter what I did on the ice. You know, everybody hated Claude more than me, so it was great. I was going after him, so I could do whatever I wanted on the ice. So it worked out, but when I came in the league too, I got to play with Chris Simon and a few big boys, Owen Nolan, so I think I got in the league maybe a little too easy because nobody would touch me. I was just got to do whatever I want. I was like, no, nobody's going to hurt me. So, and then I played with Claude and Valerie. I don't think nobody could actually catch us. I think we were a pretty decent line there, and we didn't really get into the much physicality. It was just we were just good. You know, we always played in the offensive zone and didn't have time to battle that much. I think, you know, a few games with Detroit, but other than that, I think we try to stay away from the really bad stuff.
Well, I mean, the thing is that it was such a different league then. And, you know, I'm just wondering, the two of you guys, like, there was one player now who said to me, he said that it's almost easier on your body because the physicality in the playoffs, it gets tuned up and there's certain rivalries that are tough. But they said it's in some ways it's easier in your body than it was when the two of you guys played. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I would agree with that, actually. I think it's more headache, you know. I mean, concussions, I mean, they're a little faster. But just overall, I think half the time you were wrestling, and it was pretty dirty back then, too, you know, if you remember. One year in the playoff, I played against Chicago, Suter, Chelios, Ciccone, Steve Smith. I mean, this just hurt to get on the ice, and I think it was a little tougher then. They got away with a lot of stuff, one referee and all that. But they're faster nowadays, and they hit harder when they hit if you don't see it. And so, concussion wise, it's more concussions because it's faster. But just overall, I think the wear and tear on the body was more back in the days.
If you could compare the game in North America to the game in Europe right now, are they more similar or different than they've ever been? Is there still that distinct a style from one to the other, from North America to Europe?
Well, we have the big guys back mm-hmm. in Europe here, especially in the Swedish league, and it's hard to compare the Swedish league. There's so many Swedish players that play in KHL, in Switzerland, and in NHL. So skill-wise, it's bigger difference, I would say. Not too many in the Swedish leagues. Like before, I think they were better players back in the days, but they're quicker. I mean, they're better shaped. They skate faster. But you don't see that many end-to-end goals and fantastic plays. But if you compare the style, I think I watch some NHL games. I watch a lot of them. I think it's great hockey nowadays. A lot of goals, fast, great players. Swedish league, or you play in the European side, it's a little too slow. I think I'm more and more over here. I think would love to have the smaller ice. What happens more? It's more what I would say in the Swedish league. It's more you have to systems and defense. And I think it's in NHL right now. I think it's fun to watch. It happens something every shift, and it's kind of slow occasionally in the European hockey, I would say.
Claude, I wanted to ask you a little bit about business. We were actually supposed to let everybody know this. We were supposed to tape this podcast on Tuesday, and at the very moment we started it, Austin Matthews signed, so we had to abort for a day. Claude, you know this business really well. That contract, what is that going to do to the business of the National Hockey League?
Look, we never know the whys and how the deal gets done unless you're on the inside. So we unfortunately don't represent Austin, and we don't know what drove both parties to come to an agreement on a five-year deal, but it's changing everything. It's opening up a door for players now to want to sign those shorter term deals at a number that you would think, unless you're signing for max year length term deal, you're not getting that number. So it's an interesting time. I think that it was probably a lot of give and take. Who knows? I would hate to speculate on why they didn't lock him up for longer and what got in the way of that. But I also believe that with a player like the Austin Matthews, and I know that kid really well because I coached him and I knew him when he was a young boy playing in Arizona. He's a loyal kind of kid. I think as the, you know, 5 years goes by real quickly, he's going to most likely want to remain and be a Leafs for the rest of his career, if it makes sense, knowing what I know of that person. So, yeah, it got done. I think it's great for hockey. He's a spectacular player. I think the Leafs fans deserve to know ahead of time, and now they got to take care of business with Marner, another spectacular player.
And, Peter, I just wanted to ask you last. Your agent, when you played, was one of the true gentlemen of the game, a man by the name of Don Baisley. You know, now that you're going into this side, what are the lessons that you learned from him and the things that he taught you that you're going to try to bring into it?
Well, I don't think it's not too many that can be like Don Baisley. He was one of a kind. You know, I remember signing a $10 million deal, and RGM came out and said, you know, you have the best agent. You know, he's the classiest guy, and you figure he was so mad signing a, you know, double-digit million dollar contract. But Don was, he was just a true gentleman. And then he had all the facts. He knew everything going into the negotiations, and he was, you can negotiate different ways. You can get upset, yell, and scream, but he would never raise his voice. He was just very down to details and knowing the business and treating the other side with respect. I think that gets you maybe the long, you know, in the long run, I think that's going to help out. And, I always looked up to him, and I would never argue with him at anything with my good negotiation talks either, because I knew he was going to take care of it. But just to be a, if you're going to stay in the business and do great, I think, and be liked everywhere, I think you have to be like him. But just class all over when I had him. And I think that's everybody around hockey knew him like that too. So, but it comes down to, if you're going to be like that, you have to know your details. You have to know your facts and everything. And know when you go to the negotiation table, you got to know everything. Otherwise, it's going to be maybe hectic. But overall, just a class act.
And from the media point of view as well, couldn't agree more. He was a first-class gentleman to deal with, and he is greatly
except
missed.
He only returned phone calls when he wanted to. There was a lot of times we could never – he was to say no comment.
Strategic, Elliot. Baisley was strategic. Listen, we'll let you go on that. Claude and Peter, congratulations of the coming together in business of two former teammates in the NHL. We wish you all the success with Four Sports Hockey.
Thank you so much.
We appreciate it.
One Thoughts is brought to you by the next generation GMC Sierra Denali, complete with the world's first six-function multi-pro tailgate. Nets sliding around on the way to pond hockey use the built-in load stop to help keep them in place. Loading what seems like half a team's worth of bags, the tailgate also turns into a step for easier access and has an inner gate that flips down for unloading all the gear you can fit. GMC Sierra Denali, we are professional grade. You were right off the top of the show. Total geek out moments for me. My first time ever talking to Peter Forsberg. I was a huge fan. You're trying to let the fan bleed into the professional when you're in this side of the industry. But I was a huge Peter Forsberg fan. Still am a huge Peter Forsberg fan. Loved watching that guy play hockey for a number of reasons. One of which, and I'll go back to something you said on last week's podcast. I know you were a big Börje Salming fan. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, what did we hear about Swedish hockey players? Too soft, can't play in the NHL. I loved the fact that for a period of time, as a peak performer, Peter Forsberg was the premier power forward in the NHL as a Swede. Completely broke the mold and broke the stereotype of many Swedish hockey players previous to him.
You know what I loved about that interview?
Me.
Is that, well, aside from yourself, is that he knew exactly the play you were talking about with Kent Nielsen.
Oh, the world championship
against
Van Beesbrouck,
like,
yeah.
Look, I think I know something about hockey. You really know a lot about hockey. I think your knowledge of older stuff and things that happened is much deeper than mine.
Everybody knows.
But still, did. But I'm
in everybody awe. Just knows different things.
Yeah, but I'm in awe of some of the stuff you remember. You know, for example, when we had Luongo and you asked about moorings and he looked at you like you were nuts. And like we all have
not
those,
all hits.
You know, exactly. Like my whole career, I've tried to ask different questions. 90% of the time it's worked, but 10% of the time it has really gone badly. And when it goes badly, it goes badly.
Yeah, it's great. I love it now.
You know, so you ask that question to Luongo and he looks at you like you're nuts.
Yeah.
But you say that to Forsberg and he – like that is a fifth deck home run because he connects on your fastball and he knows exactly what you're talking about and he goes right off it. That, for me, was excellent. I was blown away at the beginning when he said he didn't watch hockey for a while.
Right.
But I thought that moment where he knew exactly the Kent Nielsen move you were talking about was outstanding.
You see, I loved Forsberg for a number – like I even loved Forsberg at the end. You know, when everybody was saying, you know, Peter, wrap it up, was trying to find different boots because they had the foot issue and couldn't find the right boot to keep his career going. And there was a whole bunch of, you know, you're ruining your reputation and leave the stage while they're still clapping. And no. I loved Peter Forsberg for the fact that they had to drag him off the ice.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to find a way to play if he could. He had to be dragged, kicking and screaming, off the ice. We always talk about perseverance and never quitting and never giving up. And that's what he did. He wasn't there to make a couple of extra $1 million to squeeze every last dime out of the NHL. He was there because he wanted to continue to compete and it wasn't out of his system yet. I thought we applauded that, but when it comes to older players, we want to get them off the stage as quickly as possible and focus on the younger guys. That's what I loved about Forsberg. As long as someone's paying me, I'm going to keep doing this. As long as there's a job for me, I'm going
to
keep trying.
You're
going
to have to throw me out.
Love it. Yes. Love that about Forsberg.
Absolutely. I think that's the way you want everyone to be, right? You want people who will need to be dragged away because those are the people that you win with. There was a lot in that interview I was really interested in. I was really interested in hearing them talk about Sakic. I was really interested in hearing Forsberg talk about how at the World Juniors it was a Russian player who taught him that back-in move.
Yeah.
You know, those guys were good talkers. Like, I hope people enjoy it. I enjoyed the 22 minutes we spent with them.
How do you find that industry that they're now co-venturing in? And, of course, you know, clothing.
It's a tough business.
They have a bunch of guys. Hampus Lindholm, Freddie Anderson.
Timo Meyer.
And he's talking about RFAs. There's another one that's due. It's a tough industry. What are they wading into together here?
Claude's been there for a while, so you know he already knows. It was interesting. I thought when I asked Forsberg about talking to Sakic, he might just say, well, I'm not going to do any of the negotiations. But he kind of liked that. But you know, he didn't run away from it. Agenting is a tough, tough business. It is a really hard business. There are high rewards, but there's a lot of grinding. You are really grinding all the time, A, to find players, and B, once you find players, to keep players, because it's a business where people say, hey, I can do a better job for you than this guy can, and you've got to protect your interests. You've got to guard your guys. It's a really, really hard business.
But when you have someone like Lemieux, someone like Forsberg, recruiting becomes less of an issue because in some ways you don't have to sell yourself as much.
You go through phases, right? Sometimes you're the hot guy or the hot agency, and sometimes you're not. And the people who are at the top of that business, you earn it. Nobody flukes into being the top agent or one of the top agents in sports. You earn it. You're constantly battling. Like, there's very few quiet days. There's always an issue. There's always something. And I'll tell you, there was this contract I found out about, and I called the agent, and the agent kind of lied, and it got out, and I didn't get the story first, and I was mad, and we didn't talk for a while, and you know, finally he called to break the ice, and you know, I just said, you lied, and that's the end of that. And he just said, well, I get that, but you have to understand that my first responsibility is my client, and as good as our relationship is, you know, you're secondary. Because first of all, you're going through the conflict of negotiating that contract, then you have to be careful what you say about it, and then you think that's over, but there's the next one. And then there's not even the stuff that we talk about contract negotiating. It's a player, they've got to move, or something's happening in their family, or the parents are unhappy with the job you're doing, or you're not always available. It's a lot of maintenance and conflict. It's not an easy job.
We've talked about lying before on this podcast. It's a fascinating topic in the industry. Do you think that from that part of the industry's point of view, depending on the situation and the relationship, that lying is almost a necessary requirement?
I mean, I know it happens. And there's a lot of people I deal with now who it's almost like they won't answer the question, or they'll say, you know, I can't answer that question. As you're around longer and you get to know people, that's kind of the way it evolves. Like, there was a GM last year. I texted him. I said, look, I need to ask you a question. He goes, what is it? Send it by text. And I go, okay, I'm hearing this guy is available. And he says, I don't know how it benefits me to answer that question. And I'm like, okay. And then he wrote back, now, I'm not telling you yes or no. I just don't know how it benefits me to answer that question. Right. And that answer I've always understood.
Forsberg and Lemieux together as partners in this industry. Because you always look for when, you know, someone new enters the marketplace. You know, is there an inefficiency somewhere? Is there a hole somewhere? Is there somewhere obvious for you Europeans underrepresent? I don't know. Is there a hole that these two as a pair can fill? Or do you just say to yourself, there's more jobs than ever for hockey players. There's another team coming. So get on board.
And Forsberg's a name if he wants to do it. And obviously he's, you know, as you heard in the interview, he's been looking for things to do. And I think he's always been really smart financially. I think he's a very bright guy. It's another name that adds into it. And that will be a draw simply because of who he is.
The good thing about all of it is, said Peter Forsberg, he's back in hockey.
And that you got to talk to him.
How cool was that? Sorry if I geeked out a little bit there, folks.
Nothing wrong with that.
Try to calm it down for the next interview. We'll wrap on that. Thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Another one coming up a little bit later on this week. Go conduct yourselves accordingly with the rest of your day.